Indeed, praise to you, Christ, for it is good news that you bring to us. We pray that we may receive good news from you today, to enjoy it, to share it amongst ourselves, and take it to a needy world. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's always a privilege to be able to share God's word freely. Now, by this time, Paul, the apostle, was an old man. And he was sick, and he prayed to the Lord to heal him, and the Lord said no, his grace was sufficient. He was imprisoned. He'd been opposed by some of his fellow workers, and the churches that he'd founded had umpteen problems. And he was likely to have been chained to one of the Roman soldiers in that prison. And yet, his letter radiates joy. Some of you, been coming to church long enough, will be able to end this response. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." And how on earth could he do that? As someone more erudite than me summed up this epistle that we had as our first reading today, his letter to the Christians in the church in Philippi. The letter to them was his joy in Jesus himself, that's supreme. His joy that the name of Jesus was proclaimed despite all the difficulties. And thirdly, his joy in the fellowship of the Philippian Christians. In his fellowship. And some of you here who may be following the Scripture Union readings will know in the last couple of weeks we've been reading Philippians. And Philippians, I must confess, alongside the account in Acts 16 where the church was formed, is one of the most thrilling parts of the New Testament for me. And it's been, again, this letter which exudes the reality of fellowship and all that can mean. And as you gathered, as we have these holy habits for this month in our sermons, in our home groups, and hopefully in our other discussions, we'll be focusing on fellowship. Could we have the first slide, please? And here the key phrase, if you like, in these first 4 weeks, 4 months, they've devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, and we've had Andrew and Peter and others sharing with us about this doctrine that we find in the scriptures, for example, and to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And this month, as I say, we're focusing on fellowship. And the actual word that was used in writing our New Testament in the Greek language is koinonia. Now, having dropped out of school at 15, I'm not exactly a Greek scholar, so I have to depend on others. But I learned very early on what koinonia meant, because I dropped out of school at 15. The first job I had before I went in the police was in an office, and a chap there said, another young fella, "Oh, I go to an open church youth club. You want to come along with me?" So I said, "Yeah, right." So I went down to it's the youth club, and you didn't have to go to church or anything like that. But I heard about, from some of them, a group called Koinonia. Now, in the East End of London, there aren't many Greek speakers, so I obviously wanted to know what Koinonia meant. And some of these young people who explained it to me, they were a group of young people who wanted to take seriously Jesus and to learn about him and to learn how to live as followers of Jesus at that age. And cut a very long story short, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I learned koinonia not so much because I started to learn Greek, but from the reality of our meeting with these young people and others in the church, of our meetings on Saturday morning, a group of us to look at the scriptures in our weekly reading. In those days, you learnt verses by heart. And we learnt our life together. We did things with the church. We somehow shared our lives. And then came a shock. 3 years in the Air Force. And there weren't many Christians there that I met. And I learned maybe there more to rely on the Lord, but the fellowship came to mean another thing. The prayers and the occasional letters from those back home, the few Christians I did meet there, the chaplain in one posting a local church where a family there sort of adopted me. And then, of course, as some of you know, Barbara and I, not only in this country but in Latin America, to have koinonia, fellowship, with people of different races, of cultural backgrounds. In other words, it was by experience, not just looking at a word. But I think it's helpful to see what is distinctive about this fellowship, because it isn't a word that we use much outside the church. I mean, when we go down the other end of Portman Road to the gatherings at that building there, we don't say, let's go and have some fellowship down at the football ground, do we? Or after work, let's go down the pub and have some fellowship. Or, you know, let's go to the British Legion or to the golf club and have some fellowship. It's a very churchy word. But in a way, I don't normally like these churchy words when we talk about people outside, but it's because fellowship, the way we discover it in the Bible and in our living, is something very different. And why is that? It's because, really, of what I would say, where it comes from. What is the prime mover? Who is the prime mover in fellowship? What makes it different? The difference is that fellowship amongst the disciples of Jesus is something that God has created. It's not because a bunch of us have decided, well, we've got a sort of interest in Jesus and stuff like that, let's meet together. We may make these decisions to come here, but it's God who forms it. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached a sermon, and we read that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Who added them? God added them, because later on in that same passage, we read in the passage we're studying over these months, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The fellowship of Christians is something created by God. Now, it's not saying that God isn't in all these other activities. God you'll find everywhere. But the fellowship of believers is something created by the Lord. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's his handiwork. He did it then. We read about it in Scripture, and he's still doing it now. The fellowship, this koinonia, is different because it's formed by the Lord. Much later, when the church spread from Jerusalem to other countries and to other cultures, Paul was writing to the church there in Corinth, and we can have the next slide if we may, please. And he said this, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship. It's God who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first fellowship we have by the call of God is with Jesus. It's that relationship which is crucial. The initiative is with God. As the Apostle Paul, John wrote much later, we proclaim to you that which we've seen and heard about Jesus, so that you have fellowship with us. It's through that receiving the message of Jesus that we have fellowship together. Why? Because our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What we're going to be looking at and studying is not our creation. It's God's creation. He has called us into fellowship with Jesus Christ and through Jesus to know the Father. And in a verse that we will know, the next slide, please, very well indeed, because we often use it at the end of a service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the koinonia is the word, of the Holy Spirit be with you. It's the Holy Spirit which creates this specialness of our relationship together. So let's bless one another with this blessing now. Let's say it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Indeed. So thank you. I could take the side off. One special way we experience this, of course, and we do so today, and where the word koinonia is used, and where the word koinonia is translated as communion, is, of course, exactly that. It is holy communion, koinonia, which in some versions is translated participation. If we could have the next slide, please. When we come to the communion, is not the cup of thanksgiving of which we give thanks a participation, a koinonia in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a koinonia in the body of Christ? That's why fellowship, koinonia, is something so special given to us by the Lord, but experienced in our lives together, which is what struck me in reading Paul's letter to the Philippians again. It was something living, not just a study of a word. It lived. This is meant to be a living, sharing koinonia in the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you. If you remove the slide. So the way in which we understand it is to see that the prime mover in our fellowship is not us. It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But of course, what we're going to be looking at and what we want to say is, well, how does it work? And as we look in the scriptures, and we've been studying together, and certainly you get a lot of it in Paul's letter to the Philippians, is the practical outworking. The prime mover is God, but the practical outworking is down to you and to me. The disciples of Jesus are called to be distinctive in many ways in the world. They're called to be saints. As Paul begins this in many letters, it's the word holy. We're all saints. We're all holy in that word means distinctive from the world. Not, hey, we're better than you, but we're called to be different. In the gospel, Jesus was saying to them, you're not supposed to be like the people in the world in the attitude of seeking position and power and privilege. You're meant to be different. Holy people. Our gospel reading, as we reflect upon that, Jesus said to them, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be servant. And we know in the pressure that's on those of you who are in the working world, you know, you've got to put yourself forward. You've got to put the other person down sometimes. It's me, me. You know, I want to be first. I want that position. And Jesus said, no, you've got to be different. But what does that mean? How do you do it? And the calling of disciples in our fellowship, our relationship with Jesus, is meant to form our relationship with one another so that as a people of God, we are different. Jesus said, by this shall all know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. You'll be given, some of you will have been given when you came in and the rest when you go out, a list of some of the one another's in the Bible, which will be part of our study. I've been told that there are 59 of them, but the list is quite short. But it's just helping us to see how we relate to one another. What does this fellowship mean in practice? If it's so different because God forms it, it ought to be something that is very clear to anyone who comes from outside this fellowship. I noticed that as a young fellow, a bit rebellious in all sorts of ways. There was something different. I remember some of the other young people, in fact, the guy who invited me said, oh, John, don't get involved with that lot. They're a God squad. You know, you'll lose out on life. You won't have fun. And I knew how they found their fun. You know, drugs weren't so strong then, but the sex and the drink were. And, of course, it was a lie. Fortunately, I learnt from the others, as Jesus said, I've come, the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Plenty of that going on. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life in all its fullness. And I saw it in the lives of those young people and then of the adults as well, who incidentally were able to reach out to my dad, who never went to church, but came and met my mum, and so they invited my dad to things, and at 65 he gave his life to the Lord. And I remember years later in some meeting of parents of missionaries overseas, he stood up in a meeting. My dad wasn't a great public speaker, and what he spoke about was fellowship. See, there's something about the difference of the way Christians live together. There's a power in itself. And this letter to the Philippians contains that most wonderful hymn of praise and worship to Jesus in the second chapter. But when you read it in its context, but Paul is using it as an example of how they should be with one another. Before that great paean of worship and praise, he said, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and if any comfort of his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. What a hope! Those people came from different cultures, from different parts of the empire. If you look at Philippi, you'll understand why that is. They were, some were Jewish backgrounds, some were Gentiles, some were slaves, some were free. To expect them to be in unity and one-minded is beyond reasonableness for us as for them. But he said, look at Jesus. And he has this great hymn of how Jesus stood down from heaven, lowered himself to become a slave for others. In other words, our fellowship is something that emanates out of the Lord being with us, and we're not putting ourselves first. He says here, you know, others are always seeking their own interests, not you. Follow the example of Jesus. It is out of that that comes our fellowship. I love it that one of the one another's that you'll find in a parallel passage in Colossians where he says, bear with one another. As another translation is put up with one another. A young man I was supposedly training for ministry in Paraguay, we still remember his sermon on that, where he says that he believes that the Lord puts certain people in churches to test us on that. There's always someone we have to put up with. So maybe that's me here, but there we are. Koinonia, that fellowship, was not just in a sense that they would enjoy one another, but they would seek to be united of one mind in understanding the will of the Lord. And out of that unity come many things. And even in this one short letter, you find the fellowship, the reality of it worked out in their support of one another. Their prayer for Paul as an individual, as a brother in Christ, prayer for him in his ministry. You find that in this passage here. Our prayer for one another, do you use the monthly prayer diary that's produced? Do you use any of the prayer material? Phil has mentioned some, that the mission agencies that we support. That is what fellowship is. I thank God, I know, Barbara, for those who prayed for us so faithfully over those many years we were overseas. And that's why, you know, I suppose it strikes me, for those who are in universities or the forces or wherever, away from home in a way, we need to pray for them. Pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. Today, for example, this month we're praying for the persecuted church in India. And tomorrow we will pray. Pray for today, we say churches have been vandalized, bombed, set on fire, church leaders beaten and threatened to pressurize Christians to renounce their faith. Pray that church leaders will have courage and perseverance to lead their members not to give up meeting together despite persecution. They prayed for Paul, who was suffering because of his faithfulness to the gospel. What do we have to learn from that? The same word koinonia is used in this letter and elsewhere about their giving money to Paul for him to live, to have food. They sent money to release him for his ministry. And the word koinonia is used again. It is used by Paul in talking about their giving for the people who were on the borders of starvation in another country, back in Judea. It's koinonia. our giving, whether it's the support for those here like Nick and Danny and others, or whether it's for Michael Green or others for overseas, or for the needy like through Christian Aid, that is koinonia according to the Bible. It's much wider than we think. But of course there is a danger that it just becomes inward looking. Koinonia is something lovely and we can feel better without it. The purpose of it is what we need to recognize too as we draw to a close. Fellowship is something which is meant to bear fruit not only amongst ourselves but about others. Some will have read about a messy church. The women who bring their children to messy church value the time spent together chatting over a meal at the end of our sessions. One of the mums expressed the desire to know more about the Bible stories we were exploring. So Messy Women was born. There's one. We now meet once a month or every 6 weeks in a pub. We gather and we share the joys and challenges of eat over a drink, and we eat together. We explore a Bible passage and we pray together. What keeps us coming and makes us find space in a busy life is the fellowship we share to get to know one another, and we welcome newcomers. Our fellowship is meant to be a spur to our reaching out to others. Paul writes to them about the need for them to be united. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them, the world, like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. The reason it was important that their life together, the no grumbling, but to seek the unity together, was that their lives might be so different when they get into the world that their lives there reveal a difference and draw other people to it. And that church, as you read about it, with its mixture in Philippi, it started with Lydia, a rich businesswoman. The next one was a slave girl who was being abused possibly by people to make money. And then there was that sort of middle-class jailer, the servant of the state. That whole breadth, and to boil them together in a church. And so our fellowship is that testimony to the world. Remove the slide, please, man. Because in other words, we're in a divided world, divided over so many things. And our unity in Christ, despite our background. In our home group, for example, where by the grace of God we're able to share in confidence and support one another. Who on earth would think that an educational dropout from a council house, a council flat in the East End of London, would have close fellowship with Henry, a rich businessman? Well, I suppose, I don't know, forgive me, you may not be rich, but a businessman whose educational background is a bit different to that. I mean, you know, that's fellowship that only the Lord can bring about. About Caballero, one of my Indian pastor friends, an Indian who in the house of the pastor in the local church in the town said, I used to come to this town and I couldn't bring my wife and daughter because we'd be spat upon because we were Indians. He said, I come to this house, I knock on the door, the Latin American who would use me normally says, hello brother, come in. Takes me in, sits me down at his table and we eat together. That's koinonia. That is showing the world that there is something that we have that can bind people that are divided in so many other ways. And what an opportunity for us in this parish, with its vast diversity of people of different backgrounds and nations. How can we show here in our fellowship, when we welcome people in from different backgrounds and nations, is our koinonia real? Is that an area we still need to work upon? That those whom God has added to us, praise the Lord, from Africa and India and other places, are there as much part of our koinonia? In other words, it's something we have to share. I said the word fellowship wasn't used much in the world. It was used, of course, by the Christian Tolkien, who wrote his books. And he wrote one called The Fellowship of the Ring. And here was this Fredo, who was chosen for a mission. It was said, fate had chosen him, an evil will hunt him, and a fellowship will protect him. It's when we see that our place in the world, the need for fellowship, but not just to support us as we go into the world, but to be able to welcome the world amongst us. We're bombarded with figures about the decline of the church in this land, and near the top of the list of declining churches is the Church of England. And here we have, with Dave and Nick leading us in this deanery, to have this vision that in the next 7 years to win 1,550 people to faith in Jesus. You see, if we understand fellowship and the power of it and the draw of it, it will be part of our believing it is possible. That out of this fellowship, the Lord will work in order to add others to a fellowship that he can trust to care for those he brings to us. As I close, I know there are hindrances to our having fellowship, just like for Paul and the church in those days. All kinds of hindrances. One is, of course, that there are people we don't like. We fall out with them. That happened in Philippi. There are things that we grumble about. There are things that somehow divide us. The final slide, please, that we have from Hebrews. The temptation to let other things become priority above our fellowship together. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, even more as you see the day drawing near. So as we continue in our service, maybe when it comes to that time for anointing, we can use that to think how we can respond to the fact that they were devoted to the fellowship. How devoted are you to this fellowship, or for your visiting to the church where you're a member? Are there hurts in your life from others within the fellowship? Philip Yancey, who wrote many books about the Christian faith, wrote one called Soul Survivor, How My Faith Survived the Church. He suffered a lot. He said, I rejected the church for a time because I found so little grace there. I returned because I found it nowhere else. There is God's grace for you here. And if there are things in your experience where there are hurts, or you're feeling that you're not devoted enough, maybe today is a day strengthened by the communion and anointed by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that you can find that healing and encouragement and strength, that our koinonia, we might be devoted to this koinonia, to this fellowship, that we would long and reach out to bring others to share. By the grace of God, may it be so. Amen.